Okay, let's talk a little bit about Tu B'Shvat. The the obvious question is what it has to do with us. Like for instance, Rosh Chodesh Elul is the Rosh Hashanah L'Maisa Behema. You know, this cutoff point. You know, you have to give tithes from your livestock. Are the livestock from this year or livestock from that year? So Rosh Chodesh Elul is the cutoff point, and we don't fire up the barbecues, and have steaks on Rosh Chodesh Elul, even though it's Rosh Hashanah Maaser Behema. So as I have to understand, obviously there's got to be a much deeper connection between us and the tree that mark, the day of Tu B'Shvat. Now, the truth is, it's something very important to point out that it's not Rosh Hashanah L'Peros, it's Rosh Hashanah L'Ilan. The prime halachic function of Tu B'Shvat is actually the age of the tree. We have to know a tree has 3 years is Orla, and the fourth year it's Revai. So it's prime in Eretz Yisrael. It needs to be redeemed, and then from 5 years onwards, then the fruit is totally mutter. The age of the tree, the cutoff point of where the tree is, what year it's in, that's the function of Tu B'Shvat. It's Rosh Hashanah Le'ilon, right? And that's a very important point to make, that it's actually the birthday of the tree, not the fruit. The fruits, very fruits haven't grown yet. The allusions that that man is like a tree is throughout Tanakh. Whether it's the pasuk in Parshas Shoftim, Ki Adam Eitz Hasadeh, or Vayakeitz Shatu Al Pal Geimayim, it says to tell him the man will be like the tree that it grows on many different waters. The allusions are throughout the Tanakh, and it's also in the Mishnah and Avos that the Mishnah says, a man whose ma'asav is merubim mechachmaso, it's like the Elon that shorshav merubim me'anafav, the man whose deeds, surpass his wisdom, which we have to explain what that means. How can you do more than what you know? So we'll get back to that. A man whose deeds surpass his wisdom is like the tree that has many roots and less branches. Since the proportion of roots to branches, that there are more roots than branches, it can withstand all the winds and it won't fall over, as opposed to the other way, that man is chachmasa meruba mimasav, so it's anaf of merubim, shorash of mu'atim, and the wind could blow it over. So we'll come back to that Mishnah, but it's something that needs to be understood, that the illusions of man to the tree are just all over. It's Tanakh, it's Chazal. Now, we find another thing is compared to tree, and that's the Torah. Right? Eitz Chaim Ila Machazikim Ba, a famous pasuk. Right? But in this week's Parsha, right? So in Mora, after we went 3 days without Torah, like Chazal say, the 3 days that we went after Kriya without V'lo Matzu Mayim, right, is that Am Yisrael went 3 days without learning Torah. And then in Mora, right, we got some mitzvahs to be Osakin, right, Shabbos, and Dinim and Kibbutz, or according to other Gersel, Shabbos, Dinim, and Paraduma. Right. And the process by which, as it were, these mitzvahs were given to us, it's all what's happening the front stage, and the back stage, we somehow, Chazal Darshan, we got with this three mitzvahs. So we should have mitzvahs, parshat asokbem. But what was happening in the forefront? Vayoreu Hashem Eitz. Vayasha Chelamayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed Moshe Rabbeinu a tree. He threw the tree into the water, and then the water sweetened. And then from there, Chazal Darshan, when the water is sweet, Vasham Sam Lachok Mishpat, Sham Niso, we got our three mitzvahs. So like the... in the backdrop, we're getting these mitzvahs to be oskin. In the foreground, You know, it's Hashem shows him a tree, throws the tree into the water, and the water's turned sweet. So the giving of these three mitzvahs, you know, is it's encloaked in the putting the tree in the water. So Yehor Hashem eats. But sometimes, Yisro is the parsha of Tu B'Shvat, depends on the year. So, aside the fact that Yisro is the parsha of Matan Torah, right, but there is also a Chazal. We know that Am Yisrael forever is given credit for having said Naaseh before Nishma. So the Gemara says in Shabbos that that the Pasuk says in Shir Hashem, Kitapuach Ba'atze Ayar, Ken Dodi Ben Avonim, like the Tapuach, which actually really means in Biblical Hebrew, the Tapuach is the Esrog tree, as we'll explain. So like the Esrog tree, Kitapuach, Ma Tapuach Ze, Pirio Kodem La'olav, just like by this Tapuach. You know, the fruit bud forms before the leaf. Kach Yisrael Higdimu Nasa Nishma. So also Am Yisrael put Nasa before Nishma. So like Nasa is like the fruit, and Nishma is like the leaf. We're putting the fruit before the leaf, Nasa before Nishma. So even the how we accepted the Torah is likened to a tree. So now there's another, in the Shiras Hayam that we read about in this week's parasha. So there's, interestingly enough, they got a glimpse to the future. Right, when they had their inspiration after Kriyas Yamsuf, they start talking about there's all types of allusions, to the future. Ze keli va'anveyu, Elokei Aviv Romenu, so Unklo says, Ze keli va'anveyu, so he teaches va'anveyu miloshon naved, dwelling place, this is my God and I will build him a Beis HaMikdash. Now that comes up towards the beginning of the Shira. But like we said, the Shira, talks about destiny, right, that Ad Yavor Amcha Hashem, Ad Yavor Amzukanis, Ad Yavor Amcha Hashem, we will pass, that's by the first commonwealth. Ad Yavor Amzukanis is by the second commonwealth, that we came back to Eretz on the days of Ezra. Right? So then it goes on, Tivi'emo V'tita'emo Bahar Nachalascha. You will bring them and you will implant them. Mikdash Hashem Karnu Yadecha, all alluding to the binyan of the base of Mikdash HaShlishi, like Rashi says. Right. So now the building of the base of Mikdash in general was alluded to earlier. And Unko said, Vanveo, I'll build them a base Mikdash. Bone. Right. Construction. But when we're talking about these psukim that are alluding to the Beis HaMikdash HaShlishi, Shabib B'mehera B'yameinu, it's not called binyan, it's called Tita Emo, being planted. Being planted, Bahar Nachalascha, and the matter of your heart is Mocham L'Shiftecha, that place where you made for your dwelling, right? Mikdash Hashem Karnu Yadecha. So the Beis HaMikdash HaShlishi is not built, it's planted. Right? So, to understand all this, you have to raise two issues. Actually, three issues. This tree thing. It's pretty heavy because the whole reason why the world is running the way it's running now. With all the hardships that there are in life. B'zeas apecha tochalechem. It's all because of a tree. Yeah. Right? All because of a tree. Adam ate from a tree he shouldn't have eaten from. So you have to really wonder why a tree has such an impact. I mean, it was a piece of fruit, right? And, it's changed, the way the world runs, that things have to now go in the hard and roundabout route until, right? that's one thing to contemplate. There's another thing, the term eitz, it's also a shoresh for another word in Hebrew, eitzah, right? Correct. Advice. Now, what does one have to do with the other? Yeah. So the thing is that we find in the Mekubalim, they refer to the the setup of the universe. They call it as the Ilan HaKodesh, the holy tree. They use that metaphor to explain reality itself and to talk about how the higher realms are like the roots, and there are realms that are called the trunks, and there's like realms that are called the branches. That's an amazing thing to look into and to think about. And the idea is like this, that the right, the tree is a living creature. Right? It's full of life, and the life of from the roots permeates everywhere. So seemingly you see the roots, in the ground, or even beneath the ground, you don't even see the roots. So it's like the hidden source. But that life force is everywhere. There's nothing that happens in the highest branch and the smallest twig that didn't come from the power of the roots. And that's a muscle, for understanding that even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu is totally hidden from us because of his greatness, he has nothing in common, with the world that he created. He's far above it. So just like the roots are even beneath the ground, you don't even see them. Right? But it is the life force that even the furthest smallest twig that branched out, if it's a very big tree, it could branch out many feet away from the roots. It's all coming from the roots, and so also the chiyus of all the olamas, right? The life force of all the different universes come from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? So even though in Madrega he's a very, very far removed. But his life force courses through reality, like the power of the roots, permeate the whole tree. Right? But that's not the whole picture. Say in the pasuk says in Tehillim, "Rabos machshavos b'lev ish va'atzas Hashem hitakum, atzas Hashem le'olam tambo." Talk about the Eitzah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what people think many thoughts. Atzas Hashem hitakum. Atzas Hashem itokum. Atzas Hashem lolam tamor. Now this pasuk should, by word association, bring up another pasuk. Right? It says, Asher asa kim es ha'odam yashar, v'hema bikshu cheshbonos rabim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made man straight, but now man sought, cheshbonos rabim. Many different cheshbonos. So the Mefarshim explained that life originally was very, very simple. Before we ate from the Eitz Hadas Tovara, things were black and white. The Rambam writes in Mor Nebuchim, Adam, before he ate from the tree, was actually on a higher level of intelligence. That he saw what is versus what isn't. Whatever, what we call bad, he saw that altogether as fake news. Right? Doesn't really exist. And that type of clarity, it's very hard to be talked into doing something wrong when you understand that the evil doesn't even exist. But then, when he ate from the Eitz Hadas Tovara, things got hopelessly confused. The Nefesh HaChaim says, Das, Miloshen, connection, that the Tov and Ra got hopefully intermingled, and now you have to make Cheshbonos Rabim. Now things have become very complicated because everything has its upside and its downside. So that's why you could rationalize anything evil because there's a little bit of good in it, right? And you can hardly do anything right, 100% right, lishma, with no ulterior motives because everything's like got mixed up. And that's the cheshbonos rabim that things have to, you have to make the cheshbonos, first of all, it makes the room for cheshbonos rabim for a lot of rationalizations because things aren't black and white anymore. There's a lot of room for it. But also, if you want to get out of the box, right, you also have to make Cheshbonos Rabim. You have to really double check yourself. Am I really doing this, really, the Shem Shemayim? Do I have ulterior motives? It's like you have to do your own counter Cheshbonos Rabim to try to get out of the confusion. So going back to the pasuk, Rabos Machshavos Belev Ish. As I said, the Rabos Machshos, they make all types of plans, right? Atzas Hashem Itakum. Right, the opposite of Rabos Machshavos, the Hema Bikshel Adron, is Atzas Hashem. What's an Eitzah? What do you, when you seek advice, what are you looking for? Now, you know your situation better than the consultant. Go to a consultant, anything. It makes whatever issue. He doesn't know anything. All he knows is what you told him. Right? So first of all, you're definitely being overcharged. That's step one. Right? That's right. That's for sure. Right. Right, but object theory, but
it's not that close to the situation also, and a professional, you know,
also experience that perhaps you don't have.
Right. Well, so you're not going there for facts. Facts, you're not going because you know the facts better than he does. So, what really is the definition of advice? Right, or a consultation? What really? That's what it's called. Yiutz. Right. Lashon Eitzah. Really, what you're going for is like this. Right. Yeah, you know the facts, but you don't know how to put them together. Right. So, well, could be because you're in it and it's your problem. Like Chazal say, "In chavish matzis also beis hasherem." When you're in the slammer, you can't get yourself out. You need someone on the outside to liberate you. Right. You're confused, right? But he, who's on the outside, he could give, you know, looking at it from the outside, he could give you an approach, and then all those factors could be, you know, pulled together, aligned, and there'll be a way forward. Right? You go to advice because you don't see a way forward. And the Eitzah gives you a way forward. Right? It's not new information, because you know the information better than us. It's not new information. It's an approach. Right? And that's what, you know, and that's you know, when and that's really what it means. The difference between, you know, an Eitzah and regular Chachma, Bina, and Das. Right? Eitzah is when the idea is productive, and it could reach fruition. Fruition, Russian fruit, right? Really, no. You get to from start to finish. You get the product that you want, and that's what advice is about, right? So everyone out there, there's rabos machshavos, right? And just atzas Hashem hisokum, right? You know, what's going to happen? Old man thinks a lot of thoughts. Nothing's going to happen. They're not going to lead to anything. It's not going to make anything. Right? What's going to happen? What's going to be takum? Right? Is Atzas Hashem. Right? Right? All these different thoughts are there. All these different plans that people make. You know, it doesn't, you know. Utsu Esa Vesufar Dabru Dovar Velo Yakum. Right? All their plans get undone. They say something and Lo Yakum. And then as opposed to Atzas Hashem. We make all types of thoughts and plans, but they're not connected to the goal. They're not realistic. And that's what you need advice for, how to, all the different ideas and all the different factors to align them. You know, what's first, what's second, put in a productive mahalach. And that's what a tree does. The amazing thing about a tree is that all the resources that, you know, it absorbs, right, minerals and water and whatever, the carbon dioxide takes from the air, it does an amazing thing that cannot be duplicated on Earth by humanly, that it not just makes life out of it, it makes food. Now, I once heard a lecture that if we would want to artificially do in a lab, you know, what happens in a leaf, the amount of photosynthesis and the sugars produced in a leaf. So I heard from a biochemist, we'd have to have just to do what happens in one leaf, you know, to try to duplicate it ourselves, we would have to have a massive factory. Now we're going to artificially make our own sugar from molecules of other substances. We're going to rain. That would be a massive factory and a tremendous amount of waste product also, just to produce a few granules of sugar that get produced in one leaf. Right? Now that, you know, and that's something amazing to think about, that not only are we not as efficient, but there's a tremendous amount of waste that if we try to do it ourselves, Right? Which, you know, the tree, there's no waste. Because even the waste product of the photosynthesis is pure oxygen, right, that we need. And it balances, which means it's 100% efficiency. Everything, you know, when you have waste, it means because you have a lot of stuff that doesn't belong and has to be removed, right? It's adulterated. You have to, sift it out. And the tree doesn't have to do this. Right? An amazing thing of, you know, of efficiency with virtually no waste.
Right? Actually, we have a symbiotic relationship with the tree. We exhale carbon dioxide, exhale oxygen, and we benefit each other. It's really very important that we have trees because it really produces a lot of oxygen in the atmosphere. Plants do the same thing.
Yes, and that's what I was saying. So now that's an amazing thing. That's an amazing thing that, you know, it's 100%, you know, efficiency that, you know, can't be humanly duplicated. Right? But here's the main thing. No waste. There's no waste that's, you know, and that's amazing. Now, you understand, we had this in Derech Hashem, the very fact that there is such a thing as waste product. Right? We learned in Derech Hashem is because the universe is adulterated with evil. Right? And that's why, you know, there has to be, that's why also the person himself has to also get rid of bodily waste, because the food that we eat, you know, it's, you know, even organic tofu, it's not ever, nothing pure, except the mung, which comes this with parsha, so no waste product, right? Except the mung. It was spiritual food, it wasn't physical food, everything's all adulterated, right? And that's the story of life, you know, that there's so much waste, right? It's very hard to get 100% the goal that you want with like no wasted effort, no wasted money, impossible almost. 100% efficiency. You have the goal, you have that thing that you want, and you right? And 100% of effort that you expend and money they expend, always they expend, should be 100% towards that goal. Nothing waste. When did that happen? What?
If the trees sin by not producing the bark to
right,
be
I'll get
like
that
a tree. No, but then why would they, of all creation, have this unique status of not producing
they were supposed
waste?
To be even better. They're supposed to be even better.
No, but why would... It's like they're getting rewarded for something and they did something wrong.
No. They did something wrong, but they didn't get rewarded.
They're the only thing creation that you say that has this.
They're the best, even after the blemish of the bark not taking life, tasting like the fruit. They're still the most, best representation of reality the way God sees it. I'm gonna get to that in a second. Best, all right. That goes back to Va'atzas Hashem Hisokum. To our perspective, there's a lot of waste going on. How's this from a Kodesh Baruch Hu's perspective? Atzas Hashem Yisakum. Oh, there's no... From his perspective, he, of infinite intelligence and infinite power, there's nothing that's happening on earth that's, in his eyes, a waste. He's manipulating the whole thing. Everything somehow serves his purpose. Right? To us, it seems that there's a lot of waste and a lot of missed opportunities and history takes a lot of bad turns, like whole centuries that you don't know why God tolerated that stuff for centuries. Now we're going to see at the end of time, it was all Atzas Hashem, Atzas Hashem, Lashon Eitz. It was all part of his tree. It was everything, you know, was part of his assembly line. And nothing got wasted. Right? But that's Atzas Hashem, and that's the way it looks to his perspective. Our mind of Rabos Machshavos just doesn't hop that. That's the way it is, you know, for him. Right? So now what's another countermeasure to Rabos Machshavos? Right? A real countermeasure that could really heal the problem for us, the Torah.
Right.
The Torah. And that's what Chazal say, the famous Chazal, Barasi Yetzirah, Barasi Lo Torah Tavlin. I created the Yetzirah, I gave you an antidote. I gave you the Torah. Right? So it's an amazing thing to look into the Torah that has no parallel in the secular disciplines or in the secular pursuits. Right, it has to do with this idea. Right, there is no such thing as waste in Torah learning or in Torah pursuit. An amazing thing. Right, in everything else that you engage in, you know, whether a science, whether the sciences or whether a profession, everything up to getting your final result has been a waste. Right? Sometimes there are tragic casualties along the way. Right?
So you're saying that the process is a waste except when we're doing it for Torah. The process. Process is how you get to the goal.
Right, fine.
So let's say you learn a subject to become a profession. So the process is wasted except when you're doing it with Torah.
Okay, fine. So that's what you said is true. Let's say a person studies medicine and never practices medicine. I was like, he wasted his time.
Well, even if he practices, you're saying that's irrelevant once he starts practicing, because then.
I mean, fine, but any time any advance in medicine that wasn't perfect, right, was wrong. Made a mistake, right? So then so the drug gets recalled, right? And they issue a better drug, right? So we say that all that in the middle was a waste, right? Cost lives. It's not that way in Torah, right? Because
we don't really talk about the process of studying for something. You're talking about if you study, if you create something that turns out not to be
as it relates to the study in another way. Let's say you study and you never apply what you learn.
Oh, that's for sure it's a waste.
Right? Okay. So these are two examples, right? Whether you made a mistake or whether you studied something and you never actually, engaged in that profession. Right? One or the other. Okay?
Unless you feel it's enriching to learn something.
Yeah, so, okay. So questions here. This is what I have to define enrichment. The Board of Education had to learn a lot of useless things because some liberal crackpots think that it's, it's enriching you. I mean, so you have to discuss what's called objective enrichment. Right? The Torah is not that way. So I'll explain to you why. Aside from the fact that we know that we get paid for our amelos, right? That, if you worked hard and took a long time, so Chazal tells in a few places, you get schar for all that, right? It's not just the final psak that you get schar for. You get paid for every step along the way. Right? But here's the thing. If anyone's, learned to daf Gemara, right, so seemingly one would imagine, God forbid, that there's a lot of waste there, because, the Gemara never says anything straight. It first raises every other single possibility but the right one and eliminates it. And then by process of elimination, right, showing what's wrong, you can't say it like this, you can't say it like this, perhaps say this, all right, but no, that wouldn't work. So now, it goes, until finally, and then people were frustrated with Gemara learning, wonder, why couldn't the Gemara just, be a rule book and just say, the pristine truth. Why the whole, why do you have to knock out? Right. Except here's the thing. First of all, if a person understands the cosmic significance of the dialectic of the Gemara, right? It has tremendous, first we'll talk metaphysically and then we'll talk even a little bit more practically. Metaphysically, as we said, as a result of the Eitz Hadas, or as Rabos Machshavos, a lot of different ways to look at things. We lost the Asher Asa Sokim Sodom Yashar, right? Now it's Cheshbonos Rabim. The Gemara is coming as a countermeasure to that. There's no waste over there. It is really straightening out thinking and is eliminating from the mix of ideas, right? The information, we have this problem, particularly in our day with the information age. We're flooded with ideas. Most of them are false. Most of them are false, right? Hashem Yirachem, and it's all equally called information, right? So now in the flood of ideas, the dialectic of the Talmud was set up as a countermeasure, and this is what it means that it says in the Zohar that the Torah Shebaal Peh comes from the Eitz Hadas Tovara. I mean to say it's a countermeasure for the Eitz Hadas that created the flood of ideas, we have to now make order. And we have to, from the flood of ideas, eliminate what is wrong, right? And uphold and support and bring proofs for what is right. That makes a tremendous cosmic tikkun. It really, as well as eliminating the lies from reality and reinforcing the truth. Right? And there's nothing better. The Ramchal has a book called the Derech Tevunos, right? And it's a book on Gemara. But he writes his introduction. You know, he wants to help people think in an orderly pattern. And that's where he started. He was looking for a way to help people with their thinking, you know, and how to, assimilate ideas, differentiate between dissimilar ideas, and he realized that, you know, the one that gave us the system for healthy thinking and critical thinking was the Talmud. So he then changed his emphasis to explain the system of the dialectic of the Gemara, because that is the healthy way to think, and that is the way to counter the flood of ideas of how, the rabos machshavos, the chesbonos rabin, how to cope with it and push out what's wrong and incorporate what's right. But here's the thing, that it's not just, you know, metaphysically that this is the way to push out the waste product and just home in on the truth. But the amazing thing is that if anyone who's has experience with tracing halacha from the Gemara down to the poskim, there's a tremendous amount that we learn even from the possibilities that were eliminated. Mm. There's a lot that we learn from those eliminated possibilities also. It's like no waste. Because it's not just that we did the constructive work of saying that this doesn't work, but when you zero in of why it doesn't work, right? That means other aspects of it could be true. And that's a puzzle that it proves something from the Havamiya. Well, this was only eliminated for that reason, right? That means if not for that reason, the other aspects are true. And therefore it makes a comeback. And there's halachas learned out from a eliminated possibility. When you focus that it's only eliminated because of their ergo, everything else about it is true. So there's a lot to learn. Right? But that's only in Torah that way. That even what gets eliminated, right, is still constructive. And that's why, you know, we didn't erase half the Gemara. it deals with, you know, eliminating wrong. Because even what it eliminates, we learn things from why they were eliminated. We learn truths from things that were declared to be the wrong possibility. That's an amazing thing. So you get paid for all that extra work. No waste in there as far as effort. And there's no intellectual waste. Because aside from the fact that you were taught and you've separated between the true and the false, but even those things that are eliminated as false, there are even things to learn from them. So it means there's total efficiency. That's how you just don't have anywhere else, right? But here's the final thing, right? That you have to be lo meid al menas lasos, right? That it's Torah is not theoretical. Right, it's not just that it's perfectly efficient as far as the theoretical. All your learning has to be al menas la'asos. Right, it has to be for the purpose of coming to fruition in action. Right, just sometimes we are barred from that, like we don't have a Beis HaMikdash in this day and age. So the halachas of kachim cannot be implemented. But it makes no difference. We have to learn those sugyas and ask ourselves, what does the Kohen have to do? How does this carbon have to be properly...
But this theoretical knowledge to get to what you're actually going to do. There are many things that are theoretical.
Ultimately. Yeah, theoretical, but that means they could have.
It's theoretical that gets you to the actual Misa.
No, but it's not the pshat that's theoretical in the sense that can never be lemaisa.
Right.
That's the thing. That means, because one could say that, you know, one could argue that, you know, what is the value of a theoretical pursuit? Why is that valuable? The Torah is not that way. All of Torah is al menas la'asos. Remember, that was the chiddush of the Hasidic movement. Right? Chasidus, you know, I mean... right? One of the things that we would agree that they correctly brought us, you know, that correctly benefited us, you know, is that they realized, you know, the Baal Shem Tov, his Talmidim, that even Kabbalah is Amenas La'asos. Even Kabbalah, even the secrets of the Torah, that's not theoretical knowledge. That's also Amenas La'asos. And it, you know, and you just have to find the application to how these secrets apply to the human situation. And that's why in Chassid Shor I talk about, you know, a lot of Misholim, you know, there's a king, a prince, all these stories, they're all allusions to, you know, Kabbalistic ideas. They're looking for the application in life. That there's nothing about Torah that's 100% theoretical. Because one would argue that perhaps theoretical is of limited value, right? Because it's a serious question. So it's only theoretical. What is its value? No, there's nothing in Torah that's 100% theoretical. In the sense that everything in Torah could be used for Avodas Hashem. Everything could be used for Avodas Hashem. Whether it's in the Halacha L'masa, you know, because the scenario could arise, or you could find an application in yourself. Right, you could find an application in yourself that would play out that truth. And that's what the Hasidus did to Kabbalah. That's what they asked, what is this in the human situation?
Do you know, in the secular world, most of the yeshiva boys who go to law school, they do phenomenally well, because Heshi told me that the training you get in the Gemara, when they get into law school, none of these people who never went to yeshiva do not have any idea about all these various program and how do you divide and dissect. He said that it's like a Gemara, out of Havda, but he said, and they do very well because they're so familiar with it.
Right.
They have no problem with law school whatsoever. And so in a way you could apply Gemara to secular knowledge if you think that's important. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, well,
it trains you how to think.
Yeah, but we're talking about it, you know, it has value in its own right. So now, I'm a Yisrael, I'm not a Kohen. Right? But if I learn Kachim, right, I'm not wasting my time. Right? Because, first of all, someone's going to have to paskin the halacha for the Kohanim. Right? But the thing is that every truth in Torah has some type of application in a person's life. So even if I can't uphold the particular textbook example because I'm not a Kohen, there's something I could learn about that does apply to me, right? In the sense that my situation, right, as we're going to learn Nefesh HaChayim, man is a walking mini-universe, so there's something in my personal universe that this applies to. So there's no waste. So if I learn now, so even though I'm Yisrael and I learn Kachim, that only applies to Kohanim, I am not wasting my time. And I'm not just getting schar because it's a mitzvah to learn Torah, right? But I can get from that learning something, you know, l'maisa, maybe not the same thing that a Kohen could get from it because he's in a different situation, but it's something that's l'maisa, whether it's paskening for the Kohen what to do, or I have a certain parallel in my life that has to do with that situation that happens in the Beis HaMikdash. And that's what it means, you know, why a man is called a tree. That the Chazal tell us something to make a very, very serious demand. Kol ma'asecha yiyu l'shem shemayim. Everything you do should be l'shem shemayim. Can you imagine that? Everything. So the Rambam explains on that statement, that means even you're eating, you're drinking, even the things you do wrong that aren't 100% right. Right, technically. Now, what I mean, the Rambam's example over there is, you know, but don't overdo it. You know, whenever I teach this Rambam, people are just like, you know, whatever. Yeah, you know, he says, listen, goofing off and looking at nice architecture, you know, you call it a waste of time. You know, why aren't you doing something more productive? But Rambam writes, but if you're depressed, yeah, that's where he writes over there. There's going to be a lot of depressed people. He writes, so if you are depressed, right, and you need to, pick yourself up, that's what you should do. You should go look at, example there, architecture, botanical gardens, and these things, Chesed V'Kodesh Baruch Hu, he made a beautiful world, and these things, when a person sees it, it has an effect on your mind that it raises your spirits. Right? So now, if you're going, so the Rambam says, if you are going to, this museum or whatever it is, not for that purpose of raising your spirits. So in a positive frame of mind, you could properly do your mitzvahs and learn Torah and serve Hashem, because you can't do much when you're depressed, the mind doesn't work. So that's called, you got a mitzvah. So even though you did something technically wrong, you didn't transgress one of the 365 negative commands, but it's something that we'd call, goofing off, you will get schar as if it's a mitzvah, because you did it for that intent. And that's, he brings the chazal, b'chol drachecha do'ehu, with all your ways know God, afilu l'dvar avera. Even when you do a sin, of course, talking about not a sin, but you're not doing, you're goofing off, right? But that's called b'chol drachecha. In all your paths, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It should be, man should live his life in a way that there's no waste. Everything is incorporated, right? With the service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So even what you do wrong is right. Right? It's like what the tree's waste product, the one thing it gives off is oxygen, and that's not wrong, because that waste product is right. It's right for the world. We wouldn't be able to survive otherwise. So even what we do wrong, it's something that we also do right. So
now I have an excuse going
shopping. I know, every time I teach this.
I'm saying, every time I teach this,
I get the same response. I always get good tips for this year, right? I just say, every time I teach it, people just, whatever. Yeah, but that's the idea. And that's part of we are supposed to be like a tree on growing on many waters, we find a way to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu in whatever we do. It's all part of our approach, our gang, the way we move forward. It's all part of our Eitzah, our approach, to come to fruition with our lives. but to make this, draw this full circle, the Sforim say that you have to view the universe, the Torah, and man, all as upside-down trees, right? Since that, the tree on earth, which is just a metaphor, the mirror always has things in reciprocal, right? So the tree on earth is actually a mirror image of the tree in heaven, right? The heavenly tree. So of course, so if you hold a mirror up to, tree going from top down in the mirror, right? The tree in the mirror is bottom up. You could try it at home. It is that way. The tree on earth is a mushroom. It's a mirror image of. So that's why it's the reciprocal, right? Right. And as we try, you'll see it's true. Right. The tree on earth is a reflection of the heavenly tree, right? Which means roots up, branches down. Right? The heavenly tree. Right? Tree on earth is a mirror image of the tree. Right? Mirror means it's the other tree, reciprocal. Right? So we explained before why the olamas are called the Ilan HaKodesh. Everything is branch. HaKodesh Baruch Hu is the roots of reality. Everything draws its sustenance from him. And his sustenance is permeating everything, like the power of the roots permeates the whole tree. And from the Ribon Shalom's perspective, right, Atzas Hashem Yisokum, there's no waste. We're going to see at the end of time, nothing ever happened in history that was called a waste. It was all part of his Eitzah. Right? For us, it looks like waste, because we can't fathom, why it was. We will see at the end of time, everything was Atzas Hashem. Everything. Right? All right, so now the Torah is that way also. The Torah comes from heaven. Right? And you have to view it that the Torah branched down to earth. And now I'll tell you that the Nafkumi, it's not the pshat that the Torah is a movable object that was in heaven and then God transferred it to earth. No, it's not the pshat. It branched out. It branched down to earth. So first of all, this explains the famous Maral, why Birchas HaTorah we make in present tense. Baruch HaTorah Hashem, no saying HaTorah, no saying present tense, not Asher Notam. Right? No saying. Because Torah never stopped being in heaven. Because that's the whole point of Torah, is that it gives us a connection with the heavenly. If it stopped being in heaven and got moved to earth, and now earth, now Torah is earthly, so it's just another wisdom. Today is that Torah is, you know, is heavenly, never stopped being heavenly. And by the way, this explains, you know, why there's halacha v'milsur. You have to do Torah, you know, you have to really work at it, and you know, and if you don't work at it hard, you don't get anything. That's why art. We explain why art school is bad, right? I actually got one phone call. You know, someone protested the honor of art scroll the day after Mass Binner Rav Moshe. Right? But we became friends after that. So, well, Torah's not niknes without amelus. You know, effortless learning just goes in one ear, out the other. It's been proven. So, which is not true by the secular disciplines. Right? If you can learn from, you know, one of these books, Physics for Dummies. Right, you know, you have not lost anything if you did it that way, and as opposed to one of the textbooks that make it purposely complicated. Right, so you should need the lecture, and you should need tutors, and you know, to support the system. Right, you haven't lost anything. It's just it's something that's been proven, and that you could experiment with this yourself, right, and see that this is true. That Torah that's learnt without any effort, you know, it's not Torah that sticks to you. Whereas the secular disciplines, there's no reason for that.
It's easy to say, like some people will say, they're just very good at math, and it just comes to them so easy. 1, 2, 3, they know what they have to know, and they don't have to expend much effort on it.
That's right. Not yet.
Torah is not like that.
All right.
Everyone has their thing that they just are just naturally good at.
Yeah, but there's another thing, an amazing thing that Chazal tells us, and it's been proven to be true, right? Even people with very good memories, they forget their learning if they don't do Chazar. It's an amazing... But Chazal write about this, that Torah is like hard to acquire like gold, v'noach la'abim k'klei schuz, it's easy to lose it like glass. That every glass eventually breaks. And that's why Gemara says, and therefore you have to constantly Chazar. And is talking about, you know, the Tanoim and Amoraim, that were brilliant people. It's just an interesting thing. Chazal say... You know, you have to work hard at it, and if you don't constantly review it, you forget it. Because I'll say that. And it's been proven. A guy who hasn't opened a book since yeshiva, you know, he could tell you all the television shows. He could make a whole pilpul. This television show is Miyasha Vakasha from that television show. And he has, you know, LP, that movie over there, a whole pilpul. But his story can't, what he learned last week, he can't tell you. It's an amazing thing. Huh? Because, and the Svarim explained, but obviously because the Torah never stopped being heavenly. It never stopped being something be'etzem heavenly, right? And therefore, because it's not physical, it's not natural. The fact that it's in our brains is artificial because it's not naturally from here. So it's a gift from God, and you have to be perpetually worthy of that gift. That's why you have to constantly, you have to expend your effort. Yagata umatzasa, like the Chiddush Arim says. You know, yigia and mitzia are not—they're not congruent terms because yigia means to work for it. Mitzia is—I just say you got a mitzia, get it? No, so it says the Chiddush Arim says because now you work at it, then God just gives it to you. But you got to be worthy. So you have to—that's why you have to plod at it. You have to, right? And the same thing—you know—if you're not constantly reviewing, Torah will recoil back to heaven where it came from. So that's why you have to constantly be chazering to keep it anchored here, keep it anchored to you. This all in the Maral. Right, and that's why bracha nosin Torah in present tense, because Torah is not naturally here. If not for the fact that God is constantly pushing it to earth, it would recoil back to heaven, its natural place. Right? So the way to look at Torah is a tree, right? It's rooted in heaven, and the roots don't move. The roots stay where they are, and it branches, right? It branches down.
Soul also depicted in the
same way? What?
The soul of a person is also.
That's right. We're about to get there. We will get there in just a second. Right? Right. And that's also represented by Yorei Hashem Eitz. Hashem told him the tree. Vayim Teku Amayim. Right. That it's a process. You know it's hard to get instant gratification from Torah. You know, it's because it's not, You know, it's like we said, it's not natural. It's for a person to feel tam in Torah, like we spoke about last Monday night. You feel taste in Torah. You have to work at it. You have to really work at it until you acquire a taste. You know, it's again, that's like the tree, right? You don't get fruits immediately. And even when the fruit starts to wear, it's first sour, right? And it takes more time until the fruits sweeten.
Right.
It's a whole process. And one wants to understand, you know, Torah learning, it's not like, you know, absorbing facts, you know, that the product is the fact itself, you know, and the menu are aware of the fact you got your product and, you know, and you get your gratification. Torah is a process. And a person who wants to acquire a taste for Torah has to stick with it and allow it to process within him. And you know, and reality is that way also. Right, so now take a look at reality itself. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us bracha on Rosh Hashanah. Right, he decrees the script for the whole year. Now you know that it takes time for that to emerge. Let's say HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, decrees X amount of apples will grow. Apples aren't going to grow till the spring. Right? So now it's a process that bracha is first distributed. First, in the form of rain, that rain has, we spoke about this once, rain also has a spiritual quality to it, that together with the physical substance is the spiritual substance that comes with it, and that gets processed in the tree. And then in the spring months, you know, finally the fruits emerge. Right? And a person also has to realize that when he has chidushei Torah to pop into his head, you don't realize that the learning that produced those chidushei Torah might have been 6 months earlier. Maybe even years earlier. So finally, like he thought, he had an einfall. He just had a blitz, you know. Realize that it is the reason why he thought it just happened. Like, you don't realize that is what has been the Torah that you learned X amount of time has, you know, processed within you and finally made Chidush Torah, which is likened to fruit. It's a process. And that's what Am Yisrael had to be taught. The waters were bitter. Right? And then, you know, of course, we're going to throw the tree. Right, waters became sweet. Right? Torah is bitter if you want instant gratification. You understand, it's like a tree that has to process, then it's sweet. But you have to be patient, and you have to. Yes, people give up, and that this gets back to the sin of the earth. Right, the sin of the earth that you know. The Rashi says that the earth sinned on the third day. It's Chazal. Rashi brings it. Akash said, "Eitz pri ose pri." I want a fruit tree that makes fruit.
By the way,
right?
Why do I do that? Cut down a fruit tree. You could cut down any other tree, but you're
right.
Not allowed to cut down a fruit tree.
Is right, because those are the good trees, you know. But it says Chazal say Lasilavo, even barren trees, all trees will bear fruit. Right, but even the fruit trees are called that they're imperfect because the wood itself doesn't taste like the fruit, with the one exception, the esrog. The esrog is the one tree.
Has anybody actually tasted esrog?
I haven't experimented.
I've always wondered about that.
Now, I've seen esrog tree. I'd say, I'm not doing this. No, you know, right? I was thinking about it. I was not going to bite into a twig and see what it tastes. But I'll take Chazal's word for it. The citrusy taste is in the esrog is the one tree, and that's why in Tu B'Shvat we daven, you're supposed to daven for a good esrog, because that's like considered to be the most refined tree, and that's the Tapuach Batzeyar, we said, it refers to how Am Yisrael said Naaseh V'Nishma, is with the esrog tree. So Tu B'Shvat, which is a tikkun, but that's time to daven for a good esrog. So we couldn't daven for it on Shabbos because we don't make private requests on Shabbos. So today you could daven for a good esrog this Sukkot, because we weren't allowed to do so when it comes out on Shabbos, Tu B'Shvat. Right. But I did so the sin of the earth was HaKadosh wanted eitz pri ose pri. Even the wood itself would taste like fruit. Right? But it only made eitz ose pri. Right? Because you know, the wood tastes like wood and only the fruit tastes like fruit. And it's an amazing thing. You know, the sin of the earth was that the means and the ends are not perfectly aligned. And that's how projects fail. Even with the best intent, which in fact you have a lot of rabbis that are wrong plans and non-realistic plans. That's like, you know, and that the sin of Adam did. the sin of Adam, who ate from the wrong tree, right? You know, brought in the issue of rabos machshavos, and, you know, and you have a lot of crazy ideas, you know, mixed in with the good ideas, and that's what derails you and deflects you, right? But there was even prior to that, even when the world was still pure and not adulterated with all crazy ideas, fake news, right? There was the fact that, you know, the trees didn't taste like the fruit that they bear. Right, which means like this, because there's a problem that you know, while you're in the middle, you don't taste the goal. And sometimes because of that, you give up and you lose focus. You don't realize that if you're stuck with it just a little bit longer, you have reached your goal. But, you know, when you're in the middle of the process, you know, you lose your resolve because you're not tasting the results. You give up. Or you wonder, maybe it's the wrong approach, you switch, and it was the right approach, you just had to stick with it a little bit longer, right? And that was called the sin of the earth. That's something that has to be repaired, right? That, of course, in God's world, it's not that way. We said in God's world, everything's 100% efficiency, right? But, you know, from the human perspective, even with the purest intentions, and this is definitely the right way forward, but when you're still in the middle, you don't taste the goal. And that's why you could give up, get tired of it, you lose your enthusiasm, you lose your focus, and you try something else because you didn't stick with it until the end. Right? So like, you know, so, but we say the Torah is not that way, that even in the middle, but still, because we're human, we have to be reminded that we're trees. We're trees, and it's a process. You know, Hazorim Bedima Barina Yitzor. You might plant with tears, right? And eventually you reap with joy. But, you know, between the planting with tears and reaping, you know, you got to wait and you got to keep the faith, right? And not give up and continue to nurture what you planted with those tears and not give up and not walk away and not get deflected and not try something else, right? And that's what still needs to be corrected. Aside from eliminating the rabos machshavos that came in from eating the wrong tree, that brought in all the distractions. Right, and that's the autumn process to realize he also is a tree, just like a tree. Everything is, you know, maximum efficiency, also kol ma'asecha yushem shemayim, but also we're that upside down tree also. Our neshama, as we're going to learn, nefesh chayim, is still in heaven. You know, only the very, very, very lowest aspect of the neshama is in your body. Most of you is not, your roots are in heaven, right? You are rooted in heaven. Really, your head are your roots. And that's what Chazal say, kol mi she'ein bo das l'sof kol ha'mimkomo. Right? A person who has no das, he won't be able, he'll be homeless. Right? So the Maharal explains, because these are your roots. A person who has no das has no roots. And these are the guys who are like always going from thing to thing, you know. Don't stay. So for Golem Mimkomo.
Golem Mimkomo?
Right. These people are, you know, they're not Farei Das. You know, that's what we call insanity. They go from thing to thing and they eventually become homeless. They can't hold their position. Right? Your roots are your mind. Your actions are the branches that based on your values you do. So your what you do with your arms and legs are the branches. Right, and that's there's a Sadia Gaon that all the Sforum quote that he says habitachon hu pri ha'emuna. Right, bitachon is the fruits of emuna. Emuna, your faith, you have it in your mind and in your heart. Right, bitachon is to live with it. That you don't just say it, but you really you don't cheat in your business and you do everything right because you have bitachon. So that's doing it. Based on the emuna, so he likens emuna and bitachon to roots and fruit, right? Your emuna is, you know, firmly affixed in your mind and heart, and bitachon is where you live in accordance.
So that's called is the
fruit. He says, "Ha bitachon hu pri ha emuna."
Oh,
okay. Hu pri ha emuna, right? The bitachon is the fruits of the emuna, right? We're also a tree that we're also like the Torah, you know, and like the universe itself. We're that upside down tree. We're supposed to have our roots in heaven, perpetually rooted in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? And that's what the Mishnah means, you know, that we said, but the real roots is Amenas Lasos. Sof Maaseh, b'machshava tchila. Sof ma'aseh, b'machshava tchila. And that's Am Yisrael that said na'aseh before nishma, because the sof ma'aseh, na'aseh, b'machshava tchila, because, you know, in the roots, the rachis are the really, the root is almenas, la'asos. That's why Am Yisrael holding that way said na'aseh before nishma, because sof ma'aseh, b'machshava tchila, like the esrog tree. That's the tree that's like closest to what a tree is supposed to be. You know, the taste is all over. So also, therefore, the fruit bud comes out first, even before the leaves. It's very goal-oriented. Never lose sight of the goal. That's why the fruit bud comes out first, and that's Am Yisrael by Har Sinai, said Naaseh before Nishma. And that's what that Mishnah means in Avos. Right? It says that if your Maisim are more than what you know, right? So it's called that you have more roots than you have branches. So we should ask that. It seemingly contradicts what we said before, right? That we say that, you know, the mind is the roots, right? And the actions are the branches. But no, it's talking about like this. You know, it's talking about your commitment to do, your commitment, because you have to ask a question. Ask a simple question. It's not physically possible, right, to do more than what you know. How can you do what you don't know? So masav merubim mechachmasav. Explain to me how that happens. How can you do more than what you know? Right? You do whatever you know how to do. So it doesn't mean doing as in, you know, it means your commitment. As opposed to chachmasav is talking about the cheshbonos rabin. Yeah, a lot of intellectual ideas. Those are branches. You know, sometimes those branches catch wind and you get toppled. It's well-known phenomena, the Chassid Yaivitz wrote, that he watched, you know, during the Spanish expulsion. He lived through it. He saw that all the intellectuals, they didn't withstand the Nisoyan, they all baptized. The people with Emuna Pshuta were the ones that were willing to die al Kiddush Hashem or to take the exile. All their engagement in philosophy, they blew over. The branches over there, that's being like in Chochmah, like branches, the Rabbos Machshavos, the Hema Bikshu Cheshbonos Rabim, that's not, sometimes that could very much be your undoing, right? Whereas Ma'asav means like Nasa before Nishma, Ma'asav, your commitment to action. Yes, your commitment to action has to be greater than your intellect, as in, you know, your intellectual pursuits, but it's talking about your commitment to action. And that, those are your roots. Those are your roots in Shemaim. It's all al menas lasos. Al menas lasos. And that's what will keep you anchored. And even when you have, you know, the far-reaching thoughts that branch out in many different directions, you know, the rabos machshavos, start him this way, start him that way, which make you susceptible to these things, you know, the catches wind, topples over. All the rabos machshavos gives a lot of room for the Yetzirah to manipulate and, you know, give you rationalizations, right? So the tikkun for that is your unmitigated commitment to just do what Hashem wants. That's what's about. So your commitment, your nasa, right? Which is those are your roots, because the roots by HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the almenas lasos. That's what we have to have in our minds and hearts, our firm commitment to do. And this brings us full circle to Bishvat, just like, you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's, you know, bracha was decreed on Rosh Hashanah. Right, but what were we eating until now? Last year's fruits. This year's fruits that from the bracha haven't grown yet. Right. Right. So now what's happening in, you know, on earth, that on Tu B'Shvat the Gemara says Hasaraf Olebanos, the sap starts rising. That means that the rain that fell, because it says also Gemara says that up to Tu B'Shvat most of the rain fell already. Like in the, you know, in the hemisphere of Eretz Yisrael, only rains in the winter. Rov Gishmei Shana have fallen by Tu B'Shvat. Still rains afterwards, but it's just, you know, very little. And the Geshem is HaKadosh Baruch Hu giving you the bracha. But he doesn't give it to you the bracha straight. It's a process. It first comes down as rain, right? But that, you know, that's the, you know, but now there's the part of turning that potential into actual. The transition happens on Tu B'Shvat. The sap is rising in the tree. The process has begun. The bracha that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is now being processed in this machine called the tree, to start making fruit, you know, but fruits haven't come yet, but it's the Rosh Hashanah Le'ilam. The tree now goes into action, because until now the tree wasn't active, the tree was dormant, right? HaKadosh was giving the bracha, but there was no way to process the bracha. On Tu B'Shvat, the sap rise tree, that water got absorbed and is rising, the tree gets activated, right? To start processing the bracha. the process has begun. You know, and the Paris we'll see in the spring and summer months. And just like that's happening in the world, that the Bracha of Rosh Hashanah starts getting processed, it should a person also. You know, whatever you had until now, you were living off the leftovers of last year. You know, everything you had, everything that went right in your life is still the leftovers from last year. Right? Now the Bracha of Rosh Hashanah starts being processed. You know, it's time to be aware of it and to say that you actualize, you know, the cognizance and work with it, that, you know, that we are now begin processing the Bracha of Rosh Hashanah. So also we will see wonderful Peiros, Yeshuas v'Nechamas, in the coming months.